Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas makes socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Welcome to the latest issue. What man about the latest issue? It's the latest United We Stand podcast. But because I'm stood near someone selling United We Stand, I'm
United
saying that this is the latest issue, and it clearly isn't. The skies are as grey as a normal winter's day in Manchester. We've just spotted a hint of blue somewhere towards Stretford. We just hope the rain holds off, because when you sell United We Stand and it rains, people are not as inclined to stop and buy a paper-based product as they might otherwise be, which is a big frustration, because we put hundreds of hours into every issue of United We Stand. So to see them spoiled by water is not good. But it's holding off for the moment. And a young lad who's just bought a copy had a distinct accent and led to me to ask him where he's from. What's your name, mate?
Adam.
And where are you from?
I was born in South Africa, Joburg, but I'm living here now.
And why United, if you've grown up in Johannesburg? Was it Gary Bailey, or was he a bit before your time? Or?
No. Well, all my family are United mad.
Yeah.
So my dad obviously drummed it into me. United.
Why were your family United mad?
Well, they just were. They lived in Stretford.
Okay.
So my dad went home and away with them for years. He doesn't come anymore because he can't afford it. He jumped United into me, and I went. I was, just over a year old when I was my first game. And I've just been going ever since.
So when did your family move to South Africa?
They moved to South Africa in 1982.
And how old are you?
I'm 26 now.
Right. So you're South African red, who now lives back over here.
Yeah, well, you could say I've got Manx, all my family are Manx, so I've got English blood in me. It's just obviously a different accent.
Which passport do you use?
To go in South Africa, I use my South African one. And then when I come back into England, I'll use my British one, because I've got your nationality.
I can relate to this with my own children. They have British passports and Brazilian passports as well, which leads to some interesting questions from immigration at times.
Well, I have the same problem.
Especially as my wife travels on a German passport.
Oh, sure.
She's not German.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not even going to start even beginning to explain all this podcast.
Yeah.
So tell us about the support for United in South Africa, because I've seen United over there several times on pre-season tours. I know loads of South African Reds who, you know, they get the fan culture, they buy United We Stand, we get feedback, they listen to the podcast. Seems to me that there's a very big following in Johannesburg, Pretoria. They meet, they're a very well organised club there. Significant following as well in Cape Town, down by the waterfront. I watched the game there once with all them lot. Tell us a bit more about the support there.
Well, as you know, the support there is pretty big. They've got a big supporters club in Joburg, as you know. They've actually moved the supporters club to a pub not basically 5 minutes from where I used to live when I lived in South Africa.
Not Silverlands, is it?
No, it's the Keg and Beagle.
All right.
On the M3, basically on the on-ramp for the M3. They've got a broom there in the back. I spoke to one of the representatives that was over here couple of months ago for a game. They brought all of the supporters over for the game, and they want me to take my flags over for the supporters club and put them up while I'm over there.
Okay.
So I've got to take them with me and everything. But the support there is, as you know, wherever you go, the support is massive for United, wherever you go.
I hope I'm not missing people out, but Ethel Slaith has been going for years. Barry Schmeiss has been going for years. There's a load, Callum as well, I know. There's loads of people who've...
Yeah, well, they'll probably be the supporters club.
Yeah.
Minjoba, Victoria, wherever they are.
Yeah. So what have you made of United this season? And are you looking forward to today's 0-0 draw against Norwich?
It's been good and it's been bad. I mean, we've had a good run and then it's gone bad. Well, not bad. It's just, you know how it goes. You just got to keep on coming. And I mean, you don't come to watch the opposition. You come to watch United. So
that's a good line, and it's a line that a lot of managers believe. I interviewed Idigar Johnson this week,
yeah,
and I asked him, what is the difference between Pep Guardiola, who you used to play for,
yeah,
and Luis and Jose Mourinho, who you used to play for? He said the difference is Guardiola pays attention to his own team and Mourinho pays attention to the opposition team. I thought it was really interesting. So Mourinho is scouting extensively,
yeah,
and wants to know everything about the opponent, and Guardiola's attitude is we have got better players than you,
so concentrate,
you worry about us,
yeah.
And that's someone who's worked under them every day. Well, that was interesting. And tell me about the other supporters in South Africa. Are United the most popular team there? Or are Liverpool very well supported as well? And are there any City fans there?
I don't know any City fans over there, first of all. I know a couple of Liverpool, a couple of Chelsea, because Chelsea over there are supported by a lot of Africans. It's obviously Jogba and Kalu and all them.
Yeah.
So there's quite a bit of Chelsea. And there's obviously Liverpool, but I can't remember off the top of my head ever meeting a City fan in South Africa. And then obviously United, but the main three teams in South Africa, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, those are the main three.
One thing I really liked when I watched the game with the Cape Town Reds was the integration. I saw coloured, black,
yeah,
white,
yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I saw,
yeah,
people who had a few quid, people who just about scraped enough money to buy a United shirt,
yeah,
people who could afford to come to Manchester once a year,
yeah,
people who couldn't afford to leave,
yeah,
leave where they lived.
Well, that's what it's like in South Africa. I mean, you've got the well-off and you've got the middle class and then you've got the poor. And I know a couple of lads I used to work with in South Africa, they used to work, but they couldn't afford to go watch like United when they came over. So they used to go watch like the, you know, Kaiser Chiefs,
yeah,
and all them. They used to go watch them because it was cheap to
Pirates,
go watch them. Kaiser Chiefs and all them. And then you got the well off that you went and watched United when they came over. So it varies, as you know. There's poverty there, so it isn't great, but it's a wide spectrum. I mean, you can have a black man being poor going to watch Kaiser Chiefs, and then you can have the same person who's well off who can go watch United.
I once went to watch a game between Kaiser Chiefs and their main rivals, Orlando Pirates.
Yeah.
My hotel was a mile from the ground where it was played. It was actually in Port Elizabeth.
Yeah.
35,000 people there.
Yeah.
And I said to the hotel receptionist, okay, I'm walking to the stadium now. She said, what? Are you crazy? No, I'm walking to the stadium to watch a game of football. And she said, no, you don't do that. And she was basically saying, you're white and you got to watch Chiefs against Pirates, and that's maybe not the best idea. But I am white and I did go and watch them.
Yeah.
I had no problems at all. I reckon there were 4 or 5 white people in the whole crowd.
Yeah.
It was absolutely brilliant. Two of them were on the pitch. I was behind the goal. And it was great. And they're just coming up to me, fans of both teams, saying, where are you from? And why are you here? And just a good experience.
Yeah.
And there was this hubbub in the background of these vuvuzelas and this constant noise.
Well, they had that at the World Cup.
Well, it became famous then, but this was before. And you had people who believed in witch doctors. You had people
that's South Africa for me. They believe in all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, what a great experience.
But South Africa, you've got to watch where you're going. Like they said to you, but look, you were right. So, but you had a good time. And look, regarding the vuvuzelas, As you know, you knew about them before the World Cup. And when the World Cup happened, I had my cousin on the phone from Stretford. He said there's this constant buzzing going on in his TV, and he didn't know what it was. And he actually said to me, retuned his TV, and it was still going on. And I said to him, no, it's like vuvuzelas going off in the background, like big horns. And you've got to have like a special technique to blowing them, because you can't just blow straight into them. You've got to do something. I can't remember what it is. You've got to do something with your tongue anyway to make them, to get them to do that noise. And but that's unique to South Africa. You don't get that here. I mean, you get the horns here, but you don't get those vuvuzelas here.
Do South African people know about United We Stand? Do they know about fanzines? Because we have a few subscribers there, but it's certainly not mainstream.
Well, you've obviously got your couple that know about it, but the ones I knew about, well, the ones I know about, they never knew about it. When I moved here, I never knew about it myself. And then I started buying, you know, Stan, Red News and all that. And I read it every week. Whenever new one comes out, I buy it. But I never knew about it before I came over. The main reason I came over was because of United. Because I watched United at home, like in South Africa on TV, but it wasn't the same as like going every week.
So you can't beat it live.
You can't beat it live.
I'll tell you one more South Africa story. I had a spare day there, and a friend of a friend said, I'll get Lucas Radebe to take you around.
Lucas Radebe.
And Lucas was a captain of South Africa.
He was a big
hero in Leeds.
Yeah, it was,
The Kaiser Chiefs were named part of him.
Yeah.
And Lucas spent a day taking me around. It was one of the best days of my life. His wife was very poorly at the time, so I shouldn't have been... looked after
Radebe,
by him.
Radebe is like that. He's known for that.
Well, I didn't know that.
Even myself, I knew what he was. I never met him, but that's what he's like. He'll accommodate you.
Top man. So he took me into Soweto.
Yeah.
I learned that Soweto isn't just a huge ghetto.
No,
it's actually a city of 3 or 4 million people.
Yeah.
There's some really rich areas in Soweto.
There is, yes.
He took me. He was recognised because of who he is.
Yeah.
He took me all around there.
Yeah.
And then he took me to... And he had a nice car.
Yeah.
He took me to a part, and it started getting more and more, I'd say, rougher in English.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we got to a part where even Lucas had to say,
yeah, be careful.
I'm best getting out of here. And I said, why? He said, it's full of new refugees from Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm not being big-headed, but they don't know who I am. And we sort of turned around, and I took some pictures. I still have the pictures.
Yeah.
Humans were living in just underneath
shacks,
a piece of tin.
Yeah, shacks, in other words, yeah.
Yeah. But what a great way to see a city.
It's an interesting way to see South Africa. A lot of people here, they ask me about the poverty in South Africa, and I try to explain to them best I can, but it's better that you go there, you see it, because you can't really explain it how it is, even though I try to.
Great country.
You can't.
We're just wrapping this up now. And this is obviously an advert on behalf of the South African Tourist Board, that if you do fly direct to South Africa, you don't get jet lagged. The Rand is very weak at the moment, and you'll have a great time. I might invoice them for that.
Yeah.
All the best. Finally, where will United finish this season in the league, and will we win the Europa Cup?
I'd say we'd finish probably second or third.
Yeah.
Europa League, that's a long competition, so you don't know.
Yeah, but if you draw every game 0-0,
if you draw you've got every chance in penalties. But I mean, if you take how you took penalties under David Moyes, it's not going to be good. But yeah, see what happens. Yeah,
all the best.
Okay.
Hi, Andy. This is Andrew Monaghan from Cork.
You come over for the game?
Yeah, flew over this morning, Andy. Yeah,
from Cork to
Liverpool,
right?
Of course. Yeah. Yes, come over this morning, what happens at 11.
And how many United fans were on a plane from Cork to Liverpool to Norwich at home on the 19th of December?
Nobody from Norwich, but there was definitely about 50 or 60 United on it.
Really? Yeah. And how much did you pay for that flight?
Paid £11 one way, Ryanair.
Well, that's probably why the plane was full of Manchester United fans.
Yeah.
And when you're coming to watch United in August, you're obviously paying a lot more than that. Or do you book very early and get plan well?
Yeah, once the fixtures come out and the Sky fixtures are announced, obviously we're looking at... dates to coincide with flights, and obviously they're trying to get the flights as cheap as they can to make it worth your while, of course, you know.
Tell me about Manchester United support in Cork.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I followed my first time Old Trafford was 1987, got the boat over, so again, United were huge back then. Obviously Liverpool were massive in Cork back then as well, considering they were so successful, but us United diehards were following United in the 80s when it was not so glamorous to do that, obviously.
I've travelled a lot around Ireland. I've never been south of a line between Dublin and Galway. I'd like to go to Cork. I feel like I should, because I've had a few quid out of that city from articles I've written over the years. And I know that Dennis Irwin and Roy Keane were obviously from Cork, but there were actually six or seven United players. Frank O'Farrell, I think, was from Cork.
Noel Cantwell.
Noel Cantwell was from Cork. A guy called Brian Carey, I think, was from Cork. And Frank O'Farrell's dream was being a train driver on the line between Cork and Dublin, and instead he failed. He just became manager of Manchester United instead. But Dennis Irwin used to say that he was from the good bit of Cork and Roy was from the bad bit of Cork, and he alluded to something north side, south side. Tell me more.
Yeah, obviously any city with a river running through the middle of it has a north south divide, so I think particularly so in Cork, yeah, it's a healthy divide, if you like. But yeah, it's competitive. There's no real huge divide, just more perception than anything else, if you like.
How old are you?
I'm 43.
So you would be the same age as Roy Keane?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're from the same city as Roy Keane? Did you know Roy or his friends or his family?
I didn't, but I'd be good friends with a lot of Roy's close buddies at the moment. I've gotten to know them over the last 25 years from football in Cork. Didn't play against Roy growing up. I was a late developer to the game.
Does that mean you weren't very good?
What's that?
Does that mean you weren't very good?
Not back then, but took me a while. Yeah, so good buddies all Roy. We played Munster League, just below League of Ireland level in Cork, so we're just finished that. So we're still involved in the game.
So you played at that level?
I played kind of 37, 38.
Did you?
Yeah.
So the league below the top league?
Yeah, so you've two league, League of Ireland, you're at the top level with.
Yeah.
With Dundalk, Cork City. The second level is Cove Ramblers,
yes,
where Roy came from, of course.
That's right.
And the next level down is your Munster Senior League, Leinster Senior League, where you're a lot of guys, Wes Hoolihan's and them would have played Leinster Senior League.
And you played that level?
So played that level, yeah. So been really good, yeah, and enjoyed that. Yeah.
And what's Roy, the perception of Roy in Cork? Is he a godlike figure, or. Because I know that he's a divisive figure in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely hugely divisive in Ireland, but it's 99% Roy and Cork. We look after our own, of course.
And your own being Manchester United as well. How are you feeling about this season?
Yes, we struggle. Obviously, I think the style of play is the biggest issue, more than anything else. The lack of creativity, the lack of imagination and creation of chances going forward, which is the huge thing. So there have been a lot of nil-all draws, so I'm banking on a 4 or 5 nil today. So I've a good enough record here, so hoping to continue that.
How often do you get over?
Once a season, but I do go to Spain a bit, as we've discussed, try and go to Spain as much, because I love watching Spanish football. I suppose the creativity and the imagination of Spanish football is huge. It's very different to the British game, so obviously, you know, it's a very attractive game to watch, like United used to be a couple of years ago.
Okay, thank you for your time. Have a safe journey back to Cork. Hello to all the Cork Reds. I know a lot of them by United We Stand. The Grangers, Andrea, who's over in Rio at the moment. She worked on the World Cup. She's a great girl. I think her brother Stephen, I think they're from a big family.
I know
so
him.
You know him?
Cork's tiny.
Yeah, well, good people.
Yes.
And have a safe journey back.
Thanks, Andy.
Another very special guest before the 0-0 against Norwich City. And you'll all be listening to this. United probably won 5-4, thinking, what an idiot. Keith, you've held... you're a familiar figure to a lot of United fans, because for many, many years, and I'm sure you'll tell me how many, you had a programme stall opposite the Bishop Blaze.
That's right, I was there for about 20-25 years, Andy. I had to pack it up towards the back end, for the start of this season, owing to illness, and although I'm well on the way to recovery now, I think it's still too much for me at the moment to continue with the programme still. But I'm still working on the programmes and still making myself available for anybody who wishes to collect programmes. They've all got my details. And
how do people get hold of you?
Well, I've been there for 25 years, so the people who always came by my stall regularly picked up the catalogues. He's got all my details on, etc.
So you've got United programmes going back to the year dot?
I have indeed, well before pre-war. Yeah.
I've got one from a game in Belgrade in 58. Is it worth anything?
It's worth an awful lot of money. It regularly sells for upwards of £2,000.
Really?
It was a genuine copy in Belgrade from, the one where they crashed at Munich on the way back, yeah.
Avayek, I wish I did have that. Is that like the Holy Grail?
It's the Holy Grail to a lot of United supporters because of the meaningful, so meaningful. The other one on a lesser scale is the first match at Old Trafford after, which was against Sheffield Wednesday in the Cup, where the team was remained blank, etc.
But wasn't there thousands of them? Weren't loads of them printed?
There were thousands printed, but a lot of them are still in collectors' hands. A lot of people never used to collect programmes in those days. Programme business really took off as a hobby in the 70s onwards, really. So, might have been 60, 70,000 printed, and there's probably quite a few thousand remaining, but people, when they get rid of the programmes, are reluctant to keep that one.
What's your favourite programme?
My favourite programme I've ever had was the first FA Cup match played at Old Trafford, which was back in 1913 against Liverpool.
It's quite a famous game, that one.
It was a famous game. I said against Liverpool. It was against Sheffield United.
Yeah, because the Liverpool was.
Liverpool was the first game back at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
But the same season, this was the first FA Cup match played there.
And which programme would you like if you could pull one out of a magic hat now?
Anything with Newton Heath on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people will know you. I'm glad that your health is improving again.
I know you've
had a tough year. It's great to see you looking better, and it's great to see you at Old Trafford. And I hope you have a lovely Christmas and your health improves in the new year.
Thanks very much indeed, Andy. All the best to all United supporters as well.
This is Alex Neil, the Norwich City manager.
Yeah, of course. I think whatever game you're going to, you've always got a chance. You know, I think if you look at our performances so far this season against the bigger teams away from home, you know, we drew with Liverpool 1-1, we went to Chelsea, we lost 1-0 off an error that we made, and we lost at Man City off an error that we made late in the game. So it's not like maybe back in the day where you were going and getting turned over 4 or 5. You know, we've been really competitive in these games, and we felt that if we limited the mistakes that we've made in other games, because we've made mistakes in the games and that's why we lost, we felt we'd have gave ourselves a chance, particularly if we played as well as we can. And I felt... No jokes. I felt if we could... Is that finished yet? If we could, not make any sort of silly errors and keep ourselves in the game, that we would have enough quality, hopefully go and create some chances, and that's the way the game ended up.
Did it take, do you think it took your team a while maybe to realise that this isn't the Man United of old, because they seem to get more adventurous as the first half wore off?
No, not particularly, because we'd spoke about it, you know. But then I think if you look at the starting lineup they had last week at Bournemouth, and then you look at the lineup they had today, it was very different. You know, they had all their sort of big hitters back in the side today. So the one thing about certainly Louis van Gaal's teams and this Manchester United team is they start quick. You know, they press you high up the park and they're really in your face. And we needed to make sure that we weren't going to try and overplay or risk anything that was going to sort of concede a goal early doors, because then it's going to be tough. So you need to make sure after 30 minutes that you're in the game, and then the game will become bigger, and then it gives us that opportunity hopefully to try and pick up wee pockets and go and try and happen the counter, and that's what ended up happening. So I thought our players, the work ethic that they had was incredible.
Alex, you won a lot of games at Hamilton, established your career there, and obviously you won a lot of important matches last season when you won promotion.
Yeah.
But is this the biggest win of your management career?
Arguably, you know, I think looking at the gulf between the two sides and the gulf between the sort of size of clubs, if you like, and the resources that Manchester United have got, then you could possibly say that. But at the end of the day, when you go on the pitch, it's 11v11, you know, and we've just got to go and try and do as well as we can, and if we can do that, then we'll always take the strength for the team, whereas I think bigger teams have got individuals that can go on and sort of individually win games. We'll always be sort of working as a group, and hopefully that can overcome.
Given the difference in sides, scale of clubs, were you surprised at how little they offered? Two shots
at the target? Yeah, but the one thing I will say, I think that was credit to us and how we limited them, you know, because it's easy saying that, but there's many a team that's come away from home against bigger sides and sat behind the ball and then they've been done four or five. It's about the bigger teams trying to break them down and the quality that they've got. And I think, like I say, I thought the work ethic and how we went about that was great, and it limited them to very little at times. But I thought we posed a real sort of threat on the break and showed good quality in certain areas of the pitch, which obviously helped us.
What do you think this can do for the club? I mean, you're out of the relegation zone, you've beaten Manchester United.
It's always difficult to say, you know, because you want to kick on, you hope next week we can go on and build on it. But it's not easy when you're a new promoted team. And to be honest, you're fighting against clubs that are far bigger than us. However, we showed today, and I've been saying it all year, or all season, that there's no reason why we can't go and win games, you know, because we are competitive, we have good players. It's just making sure that they're highly organised and that, A, you limit mistakes. I think that's a big thing. You can't gift good teams a goal. And we didn't do that today, and it really helped us.
I know you've got a big one for history, Alex. That's the first win they've had here since 1989. I think the launch of Scully
and Chamber. Yeah, which is great for the club. You know, I'm delighted for the likes of Delia and David McNally and that, who have put their faith and trust in me. So for them, That'll mean a lot to them, a lot to the fans, which I'm delighted with. But for me, it's just about trying to get as many points as I can for my team and make sure that my team have got a bit of confidence, and they'll certainly take some for that today, because we've been playing well in some games and not getting our just rewards, and that can be demotivating. You know, it can be difficult to accept that you do really well and you don't get the just rewards. But I'm hoping today that we'll take huge confidence for that and that we can grow in the next games, hopefully.
I mean, you said sort of in the build-up, you like Bournemouth, they are back, call it a catalyst result. I mean, this could now be for you, couldn't it?
Yeah, hopefully. But to be honest, if you turn around and say they'll lose next week and then win the next three after that, I'd take that. So it's just about trying to get as many points for us as we can. We need to get wins, and wins are absolutely key.
What was your thought when
that
all went through there about the
93rd
minute this morning?
Yeah, I was worried, because I'm thinking, don't let it happen again. You know, because there's been so many times this season, Man City was probably the worst. We're hanging on for a point and we're doing well and we've limited them to very little, and then we make an error. There's some noises in here.
Well, that was my phone.
I wanted it so badly for them, I thought we deserved it, so I was really, really pleased.
Can you sort of just describe the mood there, final whistle, you can see what it meant to the players, to the fans?
Yeah, because we don't want to be down at the bottom end of the table, you know, and I think certainly the first 10-11 games of the season we played some really good stuff. And we were better than some of the teams we played against in terms of the performance, but performance don't put points on the board, you know, and that's what we needed to do. So today was crucial for us.
Have a nice Christmas now.
I'll have a lot better Christmas now after that. Thank you. Cheers, chaps.
Cheers, guys.
Can only say that what you have seen today is what a lack in confidence can do. With your team, it was not good enough, and it is our first defeat on Old Trafford. And that makes it remarkable, and that is also a confirmation that we are in a very bad period and we have to come out of that period, because that is the most important thing. And that is difficult, because otherwise we have done it already today. You have to win against Norwich City. You have to win every home match, I think. And And we did it also this season. Till now. So the problem is how we can manage to come out of this bad period. Now, that can be done when you are sticking together, not only the players and the manager and his staff, but also the fans, because that is very important. And every word what I say about the defeat is one word too much, because the expectation is that we win against Norwich City, and I can imagine that, and we have to do that, but we didn't do that. That's the fact.
How do you get that confidence back in your players?
To show your professional attitude. That's the only way you can get that back, and of course we have done that also this week. But that's the only way, and of course we have to evaluate what we have done today and how we have prepared this match and so on. And tomorrow we shall evaluate what we have done as a staff, as a team, to make it better against Stoke City. Because the next game is Stoke City, and then we have to play within 2 days against Chelsea. So we have to show our professional attitude to improve, but also to come back in our confidence zone.
Do you sometimes, when you're in a situation like that, evaluate your own methods? Or are you confident the methods that got you through in the past will get you through this?
Yes, of course, I'm always evaluating myself also, because I think that's an aspect of the same philosophy what I have. And but in the 25 years of management, I evaluate myself also, and the philosophy is also making an evolution. I'm not the same coach as 25 years ago, so you are always evaluating, and of course that philosophy is very important for me. Because of that, I am, or maybe I have to say now, was a very successful manager.
Louis, when you see what's happened to Jose Mourinho this week, and knowing the expectations of Manchester United and their fans, do you worry about your job when results like this happen?
Yes, of course I'm worried about that, because I know that belief in a manager is very important. And when you lose the games you play, then the belief in a manager shall increase. Or decrease. So that's happening now. I cannot close my eyes for that.
Louis, after a result like this, what do you say to the players afterwards? Do you shout at them? Do you put your arm around the shoulders? Do you say nothing in the dressing room afterwards?
No, I'm always saying something. But it was very difficult today. To say something, but I have said something, but that's also for the dressing room and not for you.
Louis, you said it's important that the club and the fans have belief in you, but do you have belief in yourself that you can turn this difficult situation around?
Yes, I think so. I don't think that a change of management shall bring direct success. But that is what I believe, that it's, it's in this matter maybe not so interesting.
You played Wayne Rooney as a centre forward again. He seems to play different positions every time without success. Where are you? What are you thinking about Rooney now, for now, for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I cannot say that after this match now, because we have to evaluate.
Okay, last question.
We saw a lot of Ryan Giggs on the touchline today, directing the players, which he doesn't normally do. Was that because of the way the game was going, or what was the thinking?
No, he was also last match already a lot of times at the touchline, and he has to give advices to the players. And yeah, he can do that because we speak about that. But you are at the sideline mostly when it is not going well. And that's the reason.
Okay, guys, thank you. Thank you. Just 2 minutes.
I'm walking across the Old Trafford forecourt now, as I usually do an hour after the game. I heard both managers speak. Alex Neil came first, very impressive. I've heard good things about him, and he's done very well in the time he's been at Norwich, which is less than a year. Certainly better than Louis van Gaal's done in the time that he's been at Old Trafford, which is considerably more than 1 year. This is probably the low point. I feel like it's getting worse and worse every week now. Final fans are just clearing away from the forecourt, and the type of people who are still left at this time are tourists taking pictures in front of the illuminated Manchester United sign. The rain has finally stopped. It started getting heavy in the second half when United were a goal down, needed to get back in the game, needed to win playing well, and he didn't. Got beat again, third defeat on the row, no wins now in six. And there's a mood now that how long can Louis van Gaal stay in charge of Manchester United? Everyone's saying it, he can't stay for much longer. Louis van Gaal answered questions in his press conference which would have been odd even a month ago. Has he lost the belief of the players? Is he the man to turn Manchester United around? Does he fear for his job? All very reasonable and direct questions, and he answered them all in a far more realistic manner than he had done at the start of December, when after the 0-0 draw against West Ham, he said that fans were happy with him in Manchester United. They're not happy now, not at all, and they expect far more from Manchester United. Again, it was another dull game. Norwich deserved the win. The team is just shattered of confidence. There's nothing there. And it's a very expensively assembled team. And there's a weariness among fans, I think, that is there a quick fix to this? Probably not. Can you see any manager coming in and not wanting more players and more of his own players? That's what managers want in football. Some people are saying Van Gaal is going to go. Most people want him to go. We've been doing polls consistently. But they don't make the decision whether he loses his job or not. That's Fred Woodward and the United board. And at the start of December, they were very emphatic, and I believe them, by the way, that in their support of Louis van Gaal. They said he's a genius. He's a man who will take Manchester United forward. But much has changed in that 3 weeks. United have gone out of the Champions League, not won a game. I think lost 3 and drawn 1 in December. And the situation is as it is now. United have slipped out the top 4. We've heard the same gripes. Not enough goals, not enough decent football. It should be much, much, much better. Someone just tweeted me and said, I sit in K-Stand, I've not seen a goal at my end since mid-September. And you pick up on little bits like that. Another guy come up to us outside the ground and said, is he going or what? He has to go. That's the type of things that I'm hearing said. I don't know the answer. Don't think anyone does. I think discussions and meetings will be taking place where the future of the manager, and he's not the only one at fault, the players are at fault as well, but do they believe in him? What do you think? What do you think? And we've been pretty consistent telling it how it is on this podcast, but they're clearly shattered of confidence. Van Hal mentioned that as well. Next game is at Stoke. I will be going. I'll be bringing you another podcast from Stoke. I'm going to pass you over to some of the lads who were in the ground as well against Norwich for 10 minutes of their opinions. And will Van Hal be manager by the end of this year? We don't know. I'd like to wish you all a very happy Christmas, or at least those of you who celebrate Christmas. And thanks for supporting us and buying United We Stand, because it doesn't run on thin air. We do need people to buy it. We don't just need people to consume these podcasts for free. We need money. So thanks for all your support. We've had a decent year with the fanzine, and not a decent year with Manchester United. Until Stoke, goodbye.
It's post-match after Manchester United 1, Norwich City 2. It didn't go to plan. Well, it depends what your plan was, but ours was hopefully one that would see United respond to what was a pretty grim week the other week, losing in Wolfsburg and then that disaster down on the south coast last week. This is going to be slotted in with a couple of other things. So us United We Stand sellers are stood, and we got here this morning. We sold the magazine in the rain. We then went to watch Louis van Gaal Manchester United lose a home game against Norwich, and we've just sold the magazine again in the rain. There's not many Christmas carols with that kind of nonsense stuck in the lyrics, is it? It's probably as grim a time as I can remember at United, and I'm going to go and say it's far worse than the time that we had when Moyes was in charge. So we'll have a chat about the manager at the end of this, but just a couple of thoughts on the game, John.
Well, firstly, just before we get to the game, can I just point out to supporters of Manchester United that as fanzine sells, we don't pick the team, and that no matter how much they ask, I'm not going to shove anything up my ass.
See, we know that's not strictly true, actually.
Well, no fanzines, yeah. Anyway. Let's suggest something else. No, the game itself today, I don't actually think it's the worst we've played, but I think that's probably says a lot more about United than the fact that I'm taking a bit of consolation out of having a bit of a go at Norwich. But it's not good enough, is it? It took us to go 2-0 down before we started really having a go, and even then, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, when you pull that goal back with 25 minutes to go, we'd have gone on and won that game, no question about it.
Ferguson side.
Yeah, they would have. They'd have gone on and won the game, but we went out with a bit of a whimper again.
Sick of repeating myself, to be honest.
Instead of repeating yourself, I'll settle for just speaking up a bit.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Might as well just same thing, really. Start off well. As soon as we realise we're struggling to get a goal or even have a shot, it starts to get gradually worse in my view, and it's not good enough, I'm afraid. That's the way it is.
Alan?
Like it's been said before, it took until going 2-0 down for the players to actually pull the fingers out of their ass, because from the off today, we just didn't look up for it. I think we just turned up expecting to roll them over, and in our current vein of form, that was never going to happen. I'm at a loss, really, what else to say, because it's just shite, isn't it?
All these bad days are coming too common, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We've got the Europa League to look forward to as well, so be leaving work at 3, selling the mag at 5, freezing to death.
Are you regretting going out till 5 and getting up at 6:30 and then coming to watch this today?
The mag's got delivered this morning, so there's a guy banging on my door at 8:25, so wasn't very nice this morning.
Yeah. I thought two things that stuck out for me in the game. One was that United now don't know actually what United rely on not letting in, which means that when they go a goal or even two goals down, they don't know what to do. That was one thing. And then the other thing that really, I thought United were really piss poor when we got that first goal back. You know, we just sort of sat there and thought and went back to type.
Yep, I agree completely. Like we said there, that's the point where you should be taking the game by the scruff of the neck, where they're probably the most vulnerable, and we didn't. Within 5 minutes, you lost that bit of a buzz that you had in the crowd. It soon went back to type, and it went back to how it did earlier on in the game.
You could hear a pin drop, couldn't you, when we were 2-1 down chasing the game, and for about 2 minutes crowd got behind him a bit, but then I think somebody went down injured, and for the next 10 minutes after that, it was like a training match again. Just people just don't fancy United to do it, do they? And you know, the crowd, I think the crowd need to get something from the team as well.
What I'm worried about is the players seem to have all the hallmark of what the Chelsea players were doing the other day, and that's a big worry for me. Yeah, and that's a big worry for me.
I think some of the supporters are a little bit like that as well. A lot of them are taking a bit of solace in the fact that if we win, then great. If we don't win, then it's another nail in Van Gaal's coffin.
Absolutely disgrace that. I don't agree with that at all. It's a joke.
Going back to that, when we went 2-1 behind, I failed to see what we're doing when we're going forwards. I failed to see what our strategy is. You can't really think of any clear-cut chances we created when we were chasing that second goal. And I mean, we're getting players, the amount of time today players have swung crosses in and there's no one there, and that, you know, right in the heart of the box, and then sometimes they're going over from one side to the other. And you know, I sometimes think these professional footballers don't look up. And there was one occasion in the second half where Blint didn't even look up when he put this cross in. He's just swinging it in the hope that someone's going to be there, and invariably there isn't anyone.
I think in the last few games, I don't know whether it's due to fruit of the selection of players that he's had available, or whether he's bowed to sort of fan pressure a little bit more, but he's actually started to have a go a little bit more in the last couple of games. And what you have suddenly seen is that Chris Smalley maybe isn't Paolo Maldini after all. You know, he's not got three central midfielders sat in front of him, and it's stick or twist, isn't it, a little bit. And if he sits back, he doesn't get any support from the fans, and if he goes for it, then defensively we're not good enough.
Ant said at Crystal Palace after the game, when we were all outside, admittedly in a bit of a state, but the bit of rationale that did get spoke on that was when you said you can't keep praising the United defence because no one's actually having a go at it, because what's sat in front of it is too tight. And I just thought today, because the midfield suddenly started just leaking everywhere, we got proper exposed at the back. And listen, that's the other thing, that wasn't a makeshift United team today, that was pretty much not far off being full.
I can't fault the team selection, but I think they're all devoid of confidence, and I think that's where the manager is at fault. Like I said, after Palace, if you have 70% possession, it's far easier to defend in a team like that. That's why Mascherano can play centre-back for Barcelona and Chris Smalling is all of a sudden looking amazing. It's just possession. You never have a sustained period of pressure on your defence. And now, I reckon today, did we have a lot of possession today? I don't
know. Probably.
Was it? Yeah. Well, surprised at that, because, I mean, the defence just looked at sixes and sevens.
They broke quite well, but they didn't hold on to the ball.
It's the same story every single week, though, isn't it? Everyone knows how to come to Old Trafford and play against United. Just sit back, frustrate them, and you'll get your chances on the counter.
That's what I said when Norwich went 1-0 up. I said to Sir John, they'll go 2-0 up here, these, because we've been left absolutely wide open. I mean, usually you got that player who's sitting in the middle, and today they just went straight through us, didn't they? Both Cameron Jerome looked like Luis Suarez.
Both goals looked like they just bulldozed the way through the middle of United and then just in. So, anyone stand out as playing half decent for United?
Depay shows a few flashes, doesn't he? But he just needs to improve that end product. And too many times he's losing the ball in the final third. A lot of the players are losing the ball in the final third when it should be up to the defence. Their defence to be taking the ball off us rather than us losing it.
I thought Martial did all right. He was one of the better ones, and maybe Depay. But it's just
though.
Yeah, it's the same thing, really.
We're ruining him.
Yeah, we are, and that's another worry.
Yeah, I'd agree with both of them too. Thought that Martial doesn't get involved in the game enough because he sticks him too far out wide. Depay shows flashes. For the first time, he started getting his head down, didn't he, a little bit, and having a goal, but his final ball let him down a little bit. But other than that, there's not really a lot of comfort you can take out of that.
I thought Ashley Young did all right. Some really good crossing, but just absolutely nobody on the end of it. I thought Rooney and Mata were really poor. Really disappointed with Mata.
Players were running past Rooney and Mata to get the ball. It was embarrassing.
I thought Ashley Young worked his arse off. I thought he was the most creative. I thought he worked the hardest, and he was tracking up and down that pitch far, far better than anybody. I would absolutely say that Ashley Young was the standout player for United.
I'm normally a fan of Mata, but today was probably his worst game that I've seen him have, definitely.
Anyway, I think we resigned to the fact that that was, you know, we don't want to say it was a bad performance. I class it as a typical performance now, and we're getting to see too much of that. Yeah. That is a proper bad run of form that United have got. I mean, that's, you know, three consecutive defeats, and I don't think we've won since, I think, the 21st of November. Was the last win that we had. Yeah, it was Watford
against an absolute piece of piss run of fixtures as well on paper.
Yeah. Well, that eight-game thing that we always talked about, that's just disappeared now, isn't
everyone.
It? You did. You said we'd be top, man. Yeah. Top at Christmas. Just a quick one then. Obviously, we'll put the game to bed. Thoughts on the position of the manager now?
Well, I've wanted him out for a few weeks now, and nothing's changed that. It's just, for me, is another nail in the coffin, particularly with another certain potential replacement becoming available this week as well. So,
4 wins in 15, and
is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. And I'll be amazed if he's there by the end of the night, personally.
Fucking Eddie Howe's got a better record than him.
Yeah.
Well, if we are going to get rid of him, we need to draft in a proper manager. I don't want to see any of his gigs taking us on until the end of the season like happened with Moyes. I think we need to draft in a proper manager either.
So, do you think he's going to stay or go?
Well, I'd like to think that we're not going to start becoming a club that just sacks managers on a whim. But, you know, it's been looking like this. When we were winning games, it was shit. And it was ominous then. And now we started losing games. Well, it completely shifts the focus onto the manager, doesn't it?
I just don't understand what's happened to me, because like I thought we was really in a good position in about April, and making, you know, we had a lot of space in the squad to bring players in. We needed a centre back, a centre forward. We didn't buy any of them. We ended up playing Blin there. I just think everything since April has been the wrong decision, and I was fully behind him in April, but now I just don't. I've really struggled to watch United this season, and I don't want to sound like a spoiled brat, but I have absolutely hated this season. I can't think of many games where I've come away even depressed. Remotely entertained. Yeah.
So, stay or go?
I'd probably want him to go, yeah.
Aaron, stay
or go?
I
think I want him to go, yeah.
Go? Yeah, go.
You can fuck off.
I agree with all of them, but especially Dubs. I just don't see there's any way back. It's not a case of the form issue. I just think when you look at, you know, I said something on Twitter this morning that said you'll see where Van Gaal stands in the players' eyes by the strength of that performance today, and at 2-0 down with 50 odd minutes gone, you could just tell that, you know, Bloomish just said there that, you know, it looked like they're trying to do what's going on at Chelsea. So I can't see a way back for him here, and I think it's a bit of a shame that it's come to that. But, you know, I think I don't know if anyone was in the ground at the end, but we were all selling, I presume, but by all accounts he got proper booed. So
what's interesting at half time is I was sat in the Stretford End today, and they were clapping the players off, and then they just saved all the booze for Van Gaal. So I think the support's there for the players. I just think it's lost for the manager.
So one final question then. Obviously, you know where he became available this week. Would you?
My thoughts on this probably change every 5 minutes, because there's that many pros and cons for him on both sides. I think it'd either be a resounding success or just an absolute horrific failure. I don't think there'll be any in between with him.
Would you?
Yeah, right now, yeah.
We all know he's the best around, but to me, it's a travelling circus with him, and that's a big issue with me. But for now, I'll probably say yeah.
It's a travelling circus. It's a travelling circus. He's a shambles, but yeah, I would.
Yeah, I think I'd have him. I think it'd be funny, wouldn't it? It'd be a laugh. It's obvious that he has a bit of a soft spot for United, and I think he's wanted the job for a while. And rather than draft gigs until the end of the season or do get like a kind of an interim manager, we just need to start over again with a proper manager.
I'm like John, I keep changing my mind all the time. I like the bloke. He sometimes says things that aren't becoming really of a United manager, but Louis van Gaal does things every week that becoming of a United manager.
He picks teams that aren't becoming of a Manchester United
manager. I can't get away from the fact that I do think he'd really, it is a stage that he'd really relish at United, and you know.
I think some people are just built on born to play at certain, and to manage at certain clubs, and I genuinely think he is made for United. The problem we've got is if you put your work heads on and think, right, that CV's in front of me and the person's who you're about to recruit's got a good record, but his last job was an absolute fucking car crash and Carney's left behind. You know, it'd be a big decision to say, yeah, I'm going to give you the job. You know what I mean? But especially if you're in a big, so it is a tough one. But the thing is you can't have talented people sat on the sidelines out of work when they've got the situation going on at United. So I think it'd be an interesting one. If you'd have asked us this at the start of the season, we'd have all been sort of absolutely 100% yeah, let's have him. But I don't think United can lose here by saying take him for 6-7 months, get us to the end of the season, see what happens in and around the club, see what happens in the dressing room, see how the players respond, and then make a decision then, because let's face it, we ain't going anywhere at the minute, are we?
No chance. Yeah, I agree with everything you've just said there. I'd get him in.
I'm just a bit concerned about his recent signings as well. That, you know, I'm,
I don't think he was really in charge in at Chelsea at all, was he?
I know, but he's overseen people coming in, and
I think what you've got is there's clearly something going on out of his work life. Obviously, that he's got that employment tribunal hanging over him, which is never nice, no matter what line of business he's in. And the other thing is I think you're right. I think he's had a couple of dickheads in his dressing room who were probably doing what you said before.
I think, like I say, it'd be good to draft him in. He's a proper manager. His track record speaks for itself. He could either come here and just have a clean slate, because he's upset a few people at a few clubs. I mean, he's been sacked from Chelsea now, hasn't he? They didn't like him at Real Madrid, and sacked from Chelsea twice. So, you know, come here with a clean slate and almost like start again.
Indeed. So it sounds like pretty unanimous that it's time up for Louis van Gaal, and if it was Jose Mourinho or whatever, you know, I think most people would be quite positive about that as a change. So not a great day, but never mind. And final word to you, to the United We Stand readers, as head of selling, any message for the festive new year for them?
Put that one on me, didn't you?
Just say thanks.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
There you go. Merry Christmas, Rancho. Thanks for buying the mag throughout the year. We appreciate it, and we'll speak to you on the podcast soon.